always stand in need of your prayers to today. I'm not feeling good in body, but we've been studying something, and I don't know. Sometimes things really fascinate me that don't fascinate my wife, and she even asks or even makes comments that it's really funny what I would choose to think about. But we got a picture last night, and we're hopes that we can express it, because there's a lot of things that I'm not a very smart person, and it don't take much to really make me think and ponder on something. And as much as we might be amazed at what we're thinking about, that's not to say that we'll be able to express it. But we've seen a picture. There's a lot of people that believe, I guess, in the scientific world that all we see is nothing but chaos. But we know that there is us that are Christians, as well as scientists that have studied, especially in molecular physics, that there is an order to all of this chaos. Though it might sound like an oxymoron, we see that there are definitely laws within nature, and that there is order in this chaotic world. Although we might see a small picture of it all, and we might not necessarily agree with that, I believe that when you see the big picture, you see that God's hand is in everything. And we're going to read, if you would, you can turn there. We're going to be reading in the book of John in two different places. We're going to be reading in the 5th chapter, but first we're going to read, if the Lord would allow us, in the 15th chapter, St. John. The Bible says, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." You know, us that are once again born again and have a Christian worldview, we know that human beings are worth something. And why is that? Some would express it's because Jesus died for us all. But I believe that if you truly search it out, that we are worth something because we are all creations of God. And that we have value in life because God the Father created us with a soul, the Bible says, that will never die. And here it says I am the vine and ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And though even every one of us, regardless of what we might accomplish in life or what we might do, we have value because we are a creation of God. But within that realm, there are those that have greater value, as it were, in a society than others. We know that my wife got on the internet. We heard about there was going to be this day of silence amongst the homosexuals, and they're encouraging teenagers to go to school and to remain silent, to mark as it were a persecution for the homosexuals, and that this might be a day of remembrance for all of those that are of a certain persuasion. And I was telling guys at work, I said, it's a sad state of affairs where one's worth is measured by some deviant behavior that they think somehow that they are just as important or maybe even more so and deserve special rights because of what they might do behind the closed door. Though they would want to bring it out in the street, we know that I said it's a sad state of affairs. I thought a man's worth was measured by what contributions one can make to society. We know that in years past that is what. But the Bible, even Paul said, if a man don't work, neither should he eat. Why it speaks about a contribution as a human being that we are somehow in a culture. This is how we can measure our worth as citizens within an organized society. What the Lord says here, that He is the vine, we're the branches, and that without Him, we can do nothing. Though we might measure what we are worth and what we might attain or what we might accomplish, Jesus Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. He reiterated it back there in St. John in the 5th chapter. chapter, and it says in the 30th verse, speaking of Christ Himself, He's speaking of Himself. He says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So if you think you can accomplish anything, you need to put it all in perspective. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said Himself, within myself I can do nothing. So if you think that you can accomplish anything, you're another fool. Because Jesus is declaring, without Him we can do nothing, and I with Him Himself, without you I have value. Right now I cannot do nothing within the Lord. But that's not to say that I might not have been born of privilege. We see rich kids that are born and their parents are wealthy, and though they have never had a work a day in their life, as society would look upon them, they are worth a great amount of money. When their parents die, they are left with a lot of money. So surely they can be considered as a valuable asset within our culture. If you'd want to turn to Timothy, 1 Timothy, if you would, the 6th chapter in the 4th and the 7th verse, it says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. So we can accomplish nothing. Jesus Christ Himself said, by myself alone I can do nothing. They went on to say that we have no privilege by whom we are born of, I was able to bear nothing into this world. Me and Daddy, we pulled a calf yesterday, and in its birth, this heifer was having trouble. And guess what? When we pulled that calf, it didn't have an ear tag in its ear. All it had is what it'll die with. And same with me and you. Other than the fact that we have a soul, and the Bible teaches us that it'll never die. And I thought, what an interesting concept. As the world will look on people, they look on their accomplishments, and they say, here goes a great man, because of what he has done, because of the generosity, the wealth that he has bestowed to other people. But the Bible says that without the Lord, we can do nothing. Now think about it now. As we measure it in the span of eternity, anything that we do will melt with a fervent heat, except it be for God. That's why the Bible says for us to lay up treasures in heaven. Why? Because this that we strive for in this world will pass away. We begin to listen. You know, as a kid, the Bible, if you would want to turn one more place, the Bible says over in Revelations, I believe it's the 7th chapter, in the 9th verse, it says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations, and kindred, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. And if you had jumped down to the 14th verse, it says, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest, because he was asked, who are these? And this one began to speak and say, these are they which came out of great tribulations, and have washed their robes, and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I think today, we mentioned this before, that because I said we have worth, because we're a creation of God, but I feel that some people think that we have worth because Jesus Christ died for us. I want to tell you something today. If we were worth anything, God would not have died for us. But it was because we were nothing that He came and He bled and He died. Glory to God. How are we going to be numbered in that number? You know, I never gave Him much thought. But we begin to listen to a man speak about the number zero.
people. Now listen to me. There was societies in this world. They didn't count the zero to be a number. And if you'd bear with me, you'd understand why. Because some of the earliest forms that I know, now listen to me. I believe God Himself taught Abraham, or taught Adam how to count. But after the fall of Babel, as the world was dispersed, we know that they lost much of the knowledge that God had given their ancestors. We know that there have been those even in our generations who their parents knew how to read, and through the expansion of the West, they did not pass it on to their children, and those children would look at those words on a page, and it would seem as if it were foolishness to them. And so it is with counting, that in early civilizations, that there was those form of counting is comparing, just as a man would count his sheep. You know, I never gave no thought to this, because I can revive, I can count as far back as I can remember. I would count my cattle, we do it. The cows are calving today, or it's the season for them. And when we go to check on them, we go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and if we don't find 34, we know one of them's off somewhere. It might be having trouble. But how would you keep straight when you didn't know how to count how many you have? Well, this man began to expound upon it. And it is through comparative accounting. As a man would run them through a narrow pass, a man would have some pebbles, and all he had to do was count to one. He'd say one, and he'd take that pebble, and he'd place it in a bag. Another would come by and take another pebble, and another and another. And he didn't have to be able to count to 50, but he'd have a bag of 50 pebbles. So then when the sheep went out in the field, come now when they come back in, how could he tell if one was missing? Because each and every time, when one of those sheep would come by, he'd take one of those pebbles out of the bag, and he'd place it over here. And when it was all said and done, if he had no more pebbles in his bag, he knew that he'd got every one of them, that if there were none missing. But if he had, as it were, 5 or 3 pebbles in his bag, though he might not have a word to say, I'm missing, 5 or 6 or 7, he'd go and say, I'm missing this much. And they'd go and they'd begin to search, and this was how that they were able to count without counting as we know it. That's how they would barter. They'd make a line on a piece of, on a board as it were, on a piece of stock. And if we had a deal, that I would buy a piece of land, and I would give you this many marks, speaking about sacks of feed or flour, how then could we go away? And you, the one that owned the land, after green upon it, and me and you that could count could say, oh, well, there's 100 marks on there. We would know the number 100. But if I was the landowner, and I held that piece in my hand, well, when he left my presence, I could make some more marks, so that in the fall, when it comes time to pay, instead of purchasing that piece of ground on already what we agreed upon, there'd be so many more marks that I'd have to come up with sacks of feed. But if the buyer held that piece, well, then maybe he could try to scratch away some of those marks and remove them. So what they did, if they took, as it were, this piece of stock, and they'd make those marks, then they'd break it in half, and they would give one to the buyer and one to the seller. There was a great fire in England because at some point, because of all the stock that was held in court, they decided that they would burn them and the fire got away, and it burnt the courthouse and everything. And you could put those pieces, and that's where the term stockholder come from, because you could put those pieces together. If there was any dispute whatsoever, and a man didn't even have to know how to count, but he'd know those marks, and he would comparatively count as he would begin to lay out the sacks of feed or the flour or whatever, and he could look on them marks and say, "All right, I need this many more. Aren't we blessed because we can count? We take it for granted." But so anyhow, and if there was any dispute at all, the two parties would bring this piece of stock together, and they would see and they'd say, "Yep, this is what was agreed upon. You're going to have to carry it out." But yeah, in early civilizations that had moved away from the ways of God, that had lost the skills of mathematical equations, that they were somewhat hindered beyond simple math because they had no way of measuring nothing. Think about that. If I was to count, if I had a square field and I was to count, and we're going to have the Lord allow, just bear with me, because we got a picture. But if I had a square field, and as you see, we got this, this, and this, we could count that, could we not? And we would give it a number. That there is three sheep in the field. All right now, I've got a square field, and there's nothing in it. Give it a number. How can you number something that's not there to be numbered? And so there lies the problem without doing any kind of complicated arithmetic, because they had no form up until that point. Once again, those that was within a culture that had lost that which God had taught, no doubt Adam had no way of measuring it. I believe it was the Assyrians that in their mathematical equations they would leave a space, because like we said, if we had a square and there's nothing in it, then nothing would be there. So as we would see 101, we'd see a 1, a 0, because we use a 0 and a 1. But the Assyrians would use a 1, and then they'd have a space, and then another 1. But the confusion come in those that was right. I mean, if they weren't careful, that space between those two measurable numbers might vary. So we wouldn't know whether we was looking at 101 or 1,001 or maybe even 10,001, because there was nothing there in the middle. There was those, I believe, that was contributed to the people in India, that they come up with a 0. How to measure nothing. Now you say, "Daryl, what's this got to do with anything?" Because there was a measurement, as it were, given to nothing. That a 0 is nothing more than a mark to mark a space. And because that somebody thought this through, now they had opened up a door that they could create and could figure out extremely, as it were, complicated equations, because they was able to put that mark there. But a 0 by itself is nothing. Listen to me now. There are people, the Bible teaches us, that we can do nothing, that we were born with nothing, and that we will leave this world with nothing. And as we have said, a 0 by itself is nothing. It is nothing more than to mark a space. But you put it in behind a 1 and it becomes something. It becomes a number 10, glory to God. You put 2 behind a 1 and it becomes 100. But yet somehow we think, because Jesus Christ died for us and we acknowledge it, that it has made us something. But we need to still understand that in a positionally spaced numerical system, it is nothing in itself, but it is because it is positioned next to a number of greater greater value, glory to God, that we can be anything. But yeah, so many have thought that by themselves they are something. God took nothing, and if you would allow me, He created a zero. And a zero is nothing more than what we are. But a zero has great value within a mathematical equation. You know, it breaks my heart that there are so many people that cannot be used of God. But because God took nothing, took them that was nothing and made them into a zero. And they think that somehow that they are intrinsically of a greater value. But there is no value there except they are placed in the position that God would have them to be in. Because by ourselves, we are still yet nothing. And I am thankful that God in His infinite wisdom knew that there. And this is what's nice. The more zeros you have, the greater value. Isn't that wonderful? That if we are a submissive servant to the Lord and get in line next to our brothers and sisters that by themselves is nothing, we can be a zero in the position that God would have us to be and can get great and have great things to be accomplished. Why? Because we've lined up in behind the one that is of all great value. That's beautiful to me. And my wife, when she was, I just got the concept of, could you imagine trying to count without zeros? How would you do it? And I thought, well, this is wonderful. That whoever, and I speak once again because I truly believe that numbers were created by God. As we already said, that we lived in, to live in a culture where that was all lost and not know how to count. But by comparison, as we said, a line to a line, a sack of stones, not knowing that this is how much I'm right, this much, and not even being able, maybe that's the way the world is. They don't know, they need this much, they need Jesus Christ, and they need that He might allow to take their nothing and make them into a zero. You say, Darrell, is this fool? No, it is a reason to rejoice. That's the miracle of God. He can take nothing and call it a zero and use it for His glory. But yeah, we are still nothing. It blows my mind. Glory to God. I serve a God that is beyond the most finite number. That is bigger than anything Darrell can measure. Whoa, glory to God. And I'm glad that I ain't nothing more than a zero. Because without it, you couldn't count. But I am not so foolish to think that Darrell can accomplish anything by himself. Because in a zero, it's nothing more than nothing. Right? So, never gave it no thought. But we was raised from school. I knew that zero is a number. But when the question was posed to me, is it really a number? I thought, well, now wait a minute. If I was told to number the cows out there in the field, there weren't none there to number, would I have any numbers? Well, I only do because somebody said that nothing is the number zero. But in a culture where all you did was to measure things, maybe by a line. But see, that's how we get that bar gate system. You know what I'm talking about? Four slashes. And you know how you count four slashes and then you make the bar, which makes the gate that goes across it. That's because a human, there are those that say that as humans without counting, we can just look at four different objects and recognize four objects. To count any more than that, we have to count. In order to observe any more than that, we have to count them. And that's why they think that no doubt that's how that system come about.
Is that because four men in early times, once again I'm talking about civilizations that had lost the knowledge of God. With one hand, they could count over 15. They'd go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then they'd go to the next joining. But I'm sitting here, I'm saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They didn't even have, in a lot of their languages, they wouldn't even have maybe what those numbers meant. But they would go like this, and they would make a comparative to the objects that they were purchasing or something. And I just thought that we are so blessed. We think that we are so wise. But yet, no doubt man's forgot a lot more than he ever knows even yet today. When it comes to the things of God, and the Bible says that the Lord would bless Abraham and his seed, and he should make them as the sands on the sea, innumerable to me and you. But God knows that number. You know, there is a culture that they had no more. They had no word for more than three. And if it was more than three, they would point to their hair. They would tap their head, referring to their hair, that it was more than one could count. But yet God in His heavenly wisdom, He said, Daryl, I know the hairs upon your head. I've counted every one of them. Wonderful God we serve, and all He wants us to be is faithful, obedient children that recognize they can't do nothing without Him, to recognize they had nothing before they were born, and they'll enter and they'll leave this world with nothing of these worldly possessions that they might hold, but yet He still just would have us to standing behind Him and to be as a zero and mark a position in our generation. Oh, my wife, she spoke. She was talking about there was this Indian woman at Walmart, and she was asking these two, she works there, she was asking two of her co-workers, oh, what does Easter mean? And one woman said it was the Catholic, that it was a Catholic religion. And another one, I can't remember what she said. But yet these two women, I didn't even begin to know what Easter meant to us Christians. You know, my wife said, she said I should have said something to her, but I didn't. All the Lord wants us to be is a zero. Nothing within ourselves, but if we're obedient, standing by God Almighty, we can be something for Him. He can give us a voice. And I'm not picking on my wife, but there's not a one of us that don't fail from time to time. I just say, Lord, I'm going to step up. I'm going to mark this space in my generation for Your glory and not my own. Why? Because I've been numbered amongst the multitude. That the Bible says these are they who have withstood tribulation. These are they that are blood-bought. Don't you want to be in that number? Don't you want to be a faithful witness? Don't you want to stand and mark a space in this world that is so chaotic? That's the beauty. That's the beauty of math, isn't it? It will take chaos, just as we already spoke about. Have you ever? I tried doing it when I worked for Gen X, more so than now, but have a bunch of cattle in a pen and them all milling around, especially when them cows are coming and going and milling around. And you try to count them in that chaos, you can't get it done. You try, as it were, to visually, you know, I took issue with that when I heard that most people can't count beyond four or can't recognize a number beyond four without counting. I've been able to group them up in tens, but maybe that's because I can do it by five. And to be honest with you, I've never tried to do it without thinking of numbers because I can count. Maybe it would be harder. It'd be the it's so confusing to me, because you know with numbers we can organize things in our mind and we can mark it down and memorize it and retain it. But to think of being illiterate to the point of not knowing how to count, maybe that is true. But in all of this chaos, you can say it's chaotic. There's no way to figure it out. But yet by counting you can bring this chaos into an order. And if you take the time and you separate them and through simple addition, and I'm not talking about 5 plus 5, I'm talking about 1 plus 1 plus 1, you can come to a conclusion that this cattle pen that looks so chaotic, that there's 107 cows in it and 52 calves. Why? Because the numbers as they were would bring it all into order. And that's what the Lord would have us to do. Is to mark a position like a zero does. By itself it is nothing. But yet if we are faithful to stand behind God, we can be a number that is immeasurable. Uncountable. What did the Bible say? 10,000s upon times 10,000. You know, you can do the math and you can know what number that is. But I feel that as it says this in one place, I think it says 10,000 times 10,000 times, talking about not a specific number as much as a number, a great, great number, as the old man might tap his head, speaking of the hairs upon his head. I want to be in that number, don't you? Let's get some song to sing. I apologize if all of this seemed to be foolishness to you, but it blessed my heart that a zero is of no value whatsoever. But if you place it in, as it were, a positional numerical system, it is of great value. But by itself, it is nothing. And by itself, within that position, it is still nothing. Isn't that amazing what the Lord can do? We but allow Him to use us as the number zero is used. I think a lot of Christians think of ourselves as an additive numerical system. Like the Roman numerals. You add one more. Each number has a value, don't it? And the next means 10. A B is 5. And as you go down the order, you take, if you have an X and a B, that's 15, isn't it? If you have an X and a B and 2 lines, that's 17. And I'm afraid that we think of ourselves and those workings of God as in an additive numerical system. That I am of great value. Oh, granted, not as of great value by myself as in a line with others. But yet, there's no zero. Do you realize that? There's no zero in the Roman numeral system because it's an additive system. And if there's nothing to add, there's no place there, there's no figure for it. And we think that by ourselves, because maybe of what Jesus done at Calvary, that we are something. Just that's where we get the thought. A woman said, she says, "How are you today?" And I said, "Well, better than I deserve." She looked at me kind of dumbfounded. I said, "You know, there's very few people can say that." Well, she says, "Well, I can." I said, "What?" I said, "You can say you're not getting it as good as you deserve." She says, "Well, I'm a Christian." I says, "Well, then you would understand me fully." But I think in her mind, she thought because Christ died for her, that made her of great value. But the simple fact that He died for us speaks of how worthless we are, does it not? And if we have any value at all, it's because we are a creation of God. And I say that and make that clarification because it is not our decision to make. Because, you know, you have to thinking of people as of no value at all.
before very long you have a system like Nazi Germany had, or the Communist Party had in Laos or China, or they just exterminate people. Each and every one of us have a value because we are a creation of God. But we are not something of great value because Jesus Christ died for us. A great price was paid because we were worthless. And it would be something that would do us well to think about in our day in and day out walk with the Lord. That by ourselves, we are nothing. And the only value that we might have in this life is if we will position ourselves behind the Lord Jesus Christ and be numbered in that multitude.